Section 5. The mediation of exchange by the circulation of money. So far as we have analysed circulation up to the present, it proceeded between the various classes of producers in Departments 1 and 2, as indicated in the following scheme. Department 1, 4000C plus 1000V plus 1000S. Department 2, 2000C plus 500V plus 500S. This disposes of the circulation of Department 2 constant capital equal to 2,000, which is exchanged for 1,000 variable capital plus 1,000 surplus value of Department 1. Leaving aside for the present the 4,000 of Department 1 constant capital, there still remains the circulation of 500V plus 500S within Department 2. Now this is divided between the subdivisions 2A and 2B in the following manner. 500V plus 500S equals subdivision A, 400V plus 400S plus subdivision B, 100V plus 100S. The 400V of subdivision A circulates within its own subdivision. The labourers paid with it buy from their employers, the capitalists, 2A, necessary means of subsistence produced by themselves. Since the capitalists of both subdivisions spend three-fifths of their surplus value in products of subdivision 2A, necessities, and two-fifths in products of subdivision 2B, luxuries, the three-fifths of the surplus value of subdivision A, or 240, are consumed within the subdivision 2A itself. Likewise, two-fifths of the surplus value of subdivision B, produced and existing in the form of articles of luxury, within the subdivision 2B. There remains to be exchanged between subdivisions 2A and 2B, surplus value on the side of 2A, 160, variable capital and surplus value on the side of 2B, 100 plus 60. These cancel each other. With their 100 variable capital received in the form of money wages, the labourers of subdivision 2B buy necessities of life in that amount from subdivision 2A. The subdivision 2B capitalists likewise buy necessities from subdivision 2A to the amount of three-fifths of their surplus value, or 60. The subdivision 2A capitalists thus obtain the money required for investing, as assumed, two-fifths of their surplus value, or 160, in luxuries produced by subdivision 2B. 100, held by the 2B capitalists as a product replacing the wages paid by them, and 60 surplus value. The direct reflux of the money capital advanced in variable capital, which takes place only in the case of the capitalist class of subdivision 2A, which produces necessities of life, is but an expression, modified by special conditions, of the previously mentioned general law that money advanced to the circulation by producers of commodities returns to them in the normal course of commodity circulation. From this it incidentally follows that if any money capitalist at all stands behind the producer of commodities and advances to the industrial capitalist money capital, in the strictest meaning of the word, that is, capital value in the form of money, the real point of reflux for this money is the pocket of this money capitalist. Thus, the mass of the circulating money belongs to that department of money capital which is organized and concentrated in the form of banks, etc., although the money circulates more or less through all hands. The way in which this department advances its capital necessitates the continual final reflux to it in the form of money, although this is once again brought about by the reconversion of the industrial capital into money capital. The circulation of commodities always requires two things. commodities which are thrown into circulation, and money which is likewise thrown into it. Quote, "The process of circulation does not, like direct barter of products, become extinguished upon the use values changing places and hands. The money does not vanish on dropping out of the circuit of the metamorphosis of a given commodity. It is constantly being precipitated into new places in the arena of circulation, vacated by other commodities, etc." Unquote. Volume 1, Chapter 3. For instance, in the circulation between the constant capital of Department 2 and the variable capital plus surplus value of Department 1, we assumed that Department 2 had advanced £500 in money for it. In the innumerable processes of circulation into which the circulation between large social groups of producers resolves itself, representatives of the various groups will at various times be the first to appear as buyers, and hence throw money into circulation. Quite apart from particular circumstances, this is necessitated by the difference, if nothing else, in the periods of production, and thus of the turnovers of the various commodity capitals. So with these £500, Department 2 buys from Department 1 means of production of the same value, and Department 1 buys from Department 2 articles of consumption valued at £500. Hence the money flows back to Department 2. But this department does not in any way grow richer by this reflux. It had first thrown £500 in money into circulation and drew commodities of the same value out of it. Then it sells £500 worth of commodities and draws the same amount of money out of circulation. Thus the £500 flow back to it. As a matter of fact, Department 2 has thrown into circulation £500 in money and £500 in commodities, which is equal to £1,000. It draws out of the circulation £500 in commodities and £500 in money. The circulation requires, for the handling of £500 in Department 1 commodities and £500 in Department 2 commodities, only £500 in money. Hence, whoever advanced the money in the purchase of commodities from the other producers recovers it when selling his own. Consequently, if Department 1 had at first bought commodities from Department 2 for £500, and later sold to Department 2 commodities of the value of £500, these £500 would have returned to Department 1 instead of to Department 2. In Department 1, the money invested in wages, that is, the variable capital advanced in the form of money, does not return directly in this form, but indirectly, by a detour. But in Department 2, the £500 of wages return directly from the labourers to the capitalists, and this return is always direct, in the case where purchase and sale take place repeatedly between the same persons in such a way that they are acting alternately as buyers and sellers of commodities. The capitalist of Department 2 pays for the labour power in money. He thereby incorporates labour power in his capital and assumes the role of an industrial capitalist in relation to his labourers as wage earners, but does so only by means of this act of circulation, which is for him merely a conversion of money capital into productive capital. Thereupon the labourer, who in the first instance was a seller, a dealer in his own labour power, appears in the second instance as a buyer, a possessor of money, in relation to the capitalist, who now acts as a seller of commodities. In this way the capitalist recovers the money invested by him in wages. As the sale of these commodities does not imply cheating, etc., but is an exchange of equivalents in commodities and money, it is not a process by which the capitalist enriches himself. He does not pay the labourer twice, first in money and then in commodities. His money returns to him as soon as the labourer exchanges it for his commodities. However, the money capital, converted into variable capital, that is, the money advanced for wages, plays a prominent role in the circulation of money itself, since the labourers must live from hand to mouth and cannot give the industrial capitalists credit for any length of time. For this reason, variable capital must be advanced in the form of money simultaneously at innumerably territorially different points in society at certain short intervals, such as a week, etc., in periods of time that repeat themselves rather quickly. And the shorter these periods, the smaller, relatively, is the total amount of money thrown at one time into circulation through this channel. Whatever the various periods of turnover of the capitals in the different branches of industry. In every country with a capitalist production, the money capital so advanced constitutes a relatively decisive share of the total circulation, the more so as the same money, before its reflux to its point of departure, passes through the most diverse channels and functions as a medium of circulation for countless other businesses. Now let us consider the circulation between the variable capital plus surplus value of Department 1 and the constant capital of Department 2 from a different angle. Capitalists 1 advance £1,000 in the payment of wages. With this money the labourers buy £1,000 worth of means of subsistence from Capitalists 2. These in turn buy for the same money means of production from Capitalists 1. Capitalists 1 thus get back their variable capital in the form of money, while Capitalists 2 have reconverted one half of their constant capital from the form of commodity capital into that of productive capital. Capitalists 2 advance another £500 in money to get means of production from 1. The Capitalists 1 spend this money on articles of consumption from 2. These £500 thus return to Capitalists 2. They advance this amount again in order to reconvert the last quarter of their constant capital, convert it into commodities, into its productive bodily form. This money flows back to Department 1 and once more withdraws articles of consumption of the same amount from Department 2. Thus the £500 return to Department 2. The Capitalists 2 are now, as before, in possession of £500 in money and £2,000 in constant capital, the latter having been newly converted from the form of commodity capital into that of productive capital. By means of £1,500, a quantity of commodities worth £5,000 has been circulated. Namely, 1. Department 1 capitalist pays £1,000 to his labourers for their labour power of the same value. 2. With these same £1,000, the labourers buy means of subsistence from Capitalist 2. 3. With the same money, 2 buys means of production from 1, thereby restoring to 1 variable capital to the amount of £1,000 in the form of money. 4. 2 buys £500 worth of means of production from 1. 5. With the same £500, 1 buys articles of consumption from 2. 6. With the same £500, 2 buys means of production from 1. 7. With the same £500, 1 buys means of subsistence from 2. Thus, £500 have returned to 2, which had thrown them into circulation besides its £2,000 in commodities, and for which it did not withdraw from circulation any equivalent in commodities. The exchange, therefore, takes the following course. 1. 1 pays £1,000 in money for labour power, hence for commodities equal to £1,000. 2. The labourers buy with their wages amounting in money to £1,000 articles of consumption from 2. Hence, commodities equal to £1,000. 3. With the £1,000 received from the labourers, two buys means of production of the same value from one. Hence, commodities equal to £1,000. In this way, the £1,000 have returned to one as the money form of its variable capital. 4. Two buys £500 worth of means of production from one. Hence, commodities equal to £500. 5. With the same £500, one buys articles of consumption from two. Hence, commodities equal to £500. 6. With the same £500, two buys means of production from one. Hence, commodities equal to £500. 7. With the same £500, one buys articles of consumption from two. Hence, commodities equal to £500. Total amount of commodity values exchanged, £5,000. The £500 advanced by two for the purchase have returned to it. The result is as follows. Point 1. One possesses variable capital in the form of money to the amount of £1,000, which it originally advanced to the circulation. It furthermore expended £1,000 for its individual consumption, in the shape of its own products. That is, it has spent the money which it had received for the sale of means of production to the amount of £1,000. On the other hand, the bodily form into which the variable capital existing in the form of money must be transformed, that is, labour power, has been maintained, reproduced, and again made available by consumption as the sole article of trade of its owners, which they must sell in order to live. The relation of wage labourers and capitalists has likewise been reproduced. Point 2. The constant capital of two is replaced in kind, and the £500 advanced by the same two to the circulation have returned to it. As for the labourer's one, the circulation is the simple one of commodity to money to commodity. Commodity labour power to money, £1,000 money form of variable capital one, to commodity, necessities of life, to the amount of £1,000. These £1,000 convert into money to the same amount of value the constant capital too, existing in the form of commodities, of means of subsistence. As for the capitalist too, the process is commodity to money, the transformation of a portion of their commodity product into the money form, from which it is reconverted into the constituents of productive capital, namely into a portion of the means of production required by them. In the money advance, £500, made by capitalists too, for the purchase of the other parts of the means of production, the money form of that portion of two which exists as yet in the form of commodities, articles of consumption, is anticipated. In the act money to commodity, in which two buys with money and commodity is sold by one, the money from two is converted into a portion of the productive capital, while commodity, from one, passes through the act commodity to money, changes into money, which, however, does not represent any component part of capital value for one, but surplus value converted into money and expended solely for articles of consumption. In the circuit, money to commodity through productive capital through to increased commodity to increased money, the first act, money to commodity, is that of one capitalist. The last, increased commodity to increased money, or part of it, is that of another. Whether the commodity by which money is converted into productive capital represents a component of constant capital, of variable capital, or surplus value for the seller of commodity, who exchanges this commodity for money, is wholly immaterial for the commodity circulation itself. Department 1, so far as concerns the component variable capital plus surplus value of its commodity product, draws more money out of the circulation than it has thrown in. In the first place, the £1,000 of variable capital returned to it. In the second place, it sells means of production worth £500, as in exchange number 4. One half of its surplus value is thus turned into money. Then, exchange number 6, it sells once more £500 worth of means of production, the second half of its surplus value. And thus the entire surplus value is withdrawn from circulation in the shape of money. Hence, in succession, 1. Variable capital reconverted into money equal to £1,000. 2. One half of the surplus value turned into money equal to £500. 3. The other half of the surplus value equal to £500. Altogether, 1,000 variable capital plus 1,000 surplus value turned into money, equal to £2,000. Although one threw only £1,000 into circulation, aside from those exchanges which promote the reproduction of one and which we shall have to analyse later, it has withdrawn double that amount from it. Of course, surplus value passes into other hands, that is, two, as soon as it has been converted into money by being spent for articles of consumption. The capitalists of one withdrew only as much in money as they threw into it in value in the form of commodities. The fact that this value is surplus value, that is, that it does not cost the capitalists anything, does not alter the value of these commodities in any way. So far as the exchange of values in commodity circulation is concerned, that fact is of no consequence at all. The existence of surplus value in money is, of course, transient, the same as all other forms which the advanced capital assumes in its metamorphoses. It lasts no longer than the interval between the conversion of commodities 1 into money and the subsequent conversion of the money 1 into commodities 2. If the turnovers had been assumed to be shorter, or, from the point of view of the simple circulation of commodities, the circulation of money more rapid, even less money would be ample to circulate the exchanged commodity values. The amount is always determined, if the number of successive exchanges is given, by the sum of the prices or the sum of values of the circulating commodities. It is immaterial in what proportion this sum of values consists of surplus value on the one hand and of capital value on the other. If the wages of one, in our illustration, were paid 4 times per year, we should have 4 times 250, or 1,000. Hence, £250 in money would suffice for the circulation variable capital of 1 to half the constant capital of 2, and for that between the variable capital of 1 and the labour power of 1. Likewise, if the circulation between 1 and 2 were to take place in 4 turnovers, it would require only £250, or in the aggregate, a sum of money or a money capital of £500, for the circulation of commodities amounting to £5,000. In that case, the surplus value would be converted into money 4 times successively, 1/4 each time, instead of twice successively, 1/2 each time. If one instead of two should act as buyer in exchange number 4, and expend £500 for articles of consumption of the same value, two would buy means of production with the same £500 in exchange number 5. In 6, one buys articles of consumption with the same £500. In 7, two buys means of production with the same £500, so that the £500 finally return to one, the same as before, to two. The surplus value is here converted into money by means of the money spent by the capitalist producers themselves for their individual consumption. This money represents the anticipated revenue, the anticipated receipts from the surplus value contained in the commodities still to be sold. The surplus value is not converted into money by the reflux of the £500, for aside from £1,000 in the form of commodities represented by the variable capital 1, 1 threw £500 in money into circulation at the close of exchange number 4, and this was additional money, so far as we know, and not the proceeds from the sale of commodities. If this money flows back to 1, 1 merely gets back its additional money, and does not thereby convert its surplus value into money. The conversion of the surplus value 1 into money takes place only by the sale of the commodities represented by surplus value 1, in which it is incorporated, and lasts each time only until the money obtained by the sale of the commodities is expended anew in the purchase of articles of consumption. With additional money, £500, one buys articles of consumption from 2. This money was spent by 1, which holds its equivalent in 2 commodities. The money returns for the first time by the purchase from 1 by 2 of commodities to the amount of £500. In other words, it returns as the equivalent of the commodities sold by 1. But these commodities do not cost 1 anything. They constitute surplus value for 1. And thus the money thrown into circulation by this very department turns its own surplus value into money. On buying for the second time, exchange number 6, 1 has likewise obtained its equivalent in 2 commodities. Take it now that 2 does not buy, exchange number 7, means of production from 1. In that case, 1 would have actually paid £1,000 for articles of consumption, thereby consuming its entire surplus value as revenue, namely 500 in its own 1 commodities, means of production, and 500 in money. On the other hand, it would still have £500 in its own commodities, means of production, in stock, and would have got rid of £500 in money. On the contrary, 2 would have reconverted 3/4 of its constant capital from the form of commodity capital into that of productive capital. But 1/4, £500, would be held by it in the form of money capital, actually in the form of idle money, or of money which has suspended its function and is held in abeyance. Should this state of affairs last for any length of time, 2 would have to cut down its scale of reproduction by 1/4. However, the 500 in means of production which 1 has on its hands are not surplus value existing in the form of commodities. They occupy the place of the £500 advanced in money, which 1 possessed aside from its £1,000 of surplus value in commodity form. In the form of money, they are always convertible. As commodities, they are momentarily unsaleable. So much is evident that simple reproduction, in which every element of productive capital must be replaced in both 2 and 1, remains possible in this case only if the 500 golden birds, which 1 first sent flying, return to it. If a capitalist, we have only industrial capitalists still to deal with here, who are the representatives of all others, spends money for articles of consumption, he is through with it. It goes the way of all flesh. It can flow back to him only if he fishes it out of circulation in exchange for commodities, that is, for his commodity capital. as the value of his entire annual commodity product, his commodity capital, so that of every one of its elements, that is, the value of every individual commodity, is divisible, as far as he is concerned, into constant capital value, variable capital value, and surplus value. The conversion into money of every individual commodity, as elements constituting the commodity product, is consequently at the same time such a conversion of a certain portion of the surplus value contained in the entire commodity product. In this case, then, it is literally true that the capitalist himself threw the money into circulation when he spent it on articles of consumption, by which his surplus value is converted into money, or realized. Of course, it is not a question of the identical coins, but of a certain amount of hard cash equal to the one, or to a portion of the one, which he had previously thrown into circulation to satisfy his personal wants. In practice, this occurs in two ways. If the business has just been opened, in the current year, it will take quite a while, at least a few months, before the capitalist is able to use any portion of the receipts of his business for his personal consumption. But for all that, he does not suspend his consumption for a single moment. He advances to himself, immaterial whether out of his own pocket or by means of credit from the pocket of somebody else, money in anticipation of surplus value still to be snatched by him. But in doing so, he also advances a circulating medium for the realization of surplus value to be realized later. If, on the contrary, the business has been running regularly for a longer period, payments and receipts are distributed over different terms throughout the year. But one thing continues uninterruptedly, namely the consumption of the capitalist, which anticipates, and whose volume is computed on a definite proportion of, the customary or estimated revenue. With every portion of commodities sold, a portion of the surplus value to be produced annually is also realized. But if during the entire year only as much of the produced commodities is sold as is required to replace the constant and variable capital values contained in them, or if prices were to fall to such an extent that only the advanced capital value contained in the entire annual commodity product should be realized on its sale, then the anticipatory character of the expenditure of money in expectation of future surplus value would be clearly revealed. If our capitalist fails, his creditors and the court investigate whether his anticipated private expenditures were in proper proportion to the volume of his business and to the receipt of surplus value usually or normally corresponding to it. So far as the entire capitalist class is concerned, the proposition that it must itself throw into circulation the money required for the realization of its surplus value, correspondingly also for the circulation of its capital, constant and variable, not only fails to appear paradoxical, but stands forth as a necessary condition of the entire mechanism. For there are here only two classes, the working class, disposing only of its labour power, and the capitalist class, which has a monopoly of the social means of production and money. It would rather be a paradox if the working class were to advance in the first instance, from its own resources, the money required for the realization of the surplus value contained in the commodities. But the individual capitalist makes this advance only by acting as a buyer, expending money in the purchase of articles of consumption, or advancing money in the purchase of elements of his productive capital, whether of labour power or means of production. He never parts with his money unless he gets an equivalent for it. He advances money to the circulation only in the same way as he advances commodities to it. He acts in both instances as the initial point of their circulation. The actual process is obscured by two circumstances. 1. The appearance in the process of circulation of industrial capital of merchant's capital, the first form of which is always money, since the merchant as such does not create any product or commodity, and of money capital as an object of manipulation by a special kind of capitalists. 2. The division of surplus value, which must always be first in the hands of the industrial capitalist, into various categories, as vehicles of which there appear, aside from the industrial capitalist, the landlord for ground rent, the usurer for interest, etc. Furthermore, the government and its employees, rentiers, etc. These gentry appear as buyers vis-à-vis the industrial capitalist, and to that extent, as converters of his commodities into money, they too throw money, pro parte, into the circulation, and he gets it from them. But it is always forgotten from what source they derived it originally, and continue deriving it, ever anew.